Anything, anything. I'm Rich Russo.
And you know, the show really doesn't have a mission statement other than I play what I want for a few hours every Sunday. But one of the things I did want to accomplish with this show was not only to create appointment radio, which Greg knows we do, I want to point out the lineage of rock music, especially here in New York City. And we have been fortunate with some of the guests that we've had, like Walter Lohr of the Heartbreakers, Ivan Julian of the Voidoids, Paul Collins, Kenny Laguna, as well as guys like Jesse Malin, up to, you know, current breakout bands like The Pains of Being Pure at Heart. And my guest tonight is one of the city's all-time influences on a myriad of levels that continue and continue on, whether it's a guitarist for the Dictators or with the Del Lords, hanging out with Dion as part of the Little Kings, or with Neil Gerardo as part of the Paradise Brothers, and of course, a spectacular solo artist. It's humbling and flattering to welcome to your radio, Scott Top 10 Kempner.
Good evening, Rich.
So thank you so much for stopping in. We appreciate it. And you're going to let us in on some exciting news very soon while you're in town.
That's
you're now
right.
Based on the West Coast, but you're originally a Bronx boy, as you have your Evil Empire
That's right.
Yankee t-shirt on here.
Proud of it.
So first things first, we got the nictname, Top 10, that was part of the Dictator. What's the origin of that?
It's, unfortunately, the story is not as good as the name. It really came down to this, and it makes pretty much no sense when you hear it spoken back. But I never had a nickname as a kid, you know? And when the Dictators, we made our first record, this seemed like the perfect opportunity, so I asked a friend if he had any ideas for a nickname. So he goes, yeah, Hank Aaron. I went, I don't know. So he goes, okay, Jimmy Hoffa. I said, you got anything else? He goes, well, okay, Top 10. I was like, all right, Top 10. Okay, Top 10. And that's, unfortunately, the story of a 40-year history of being Top 10.
Because of that, because you didn't want Jimmy Hoffa or Hank Aaron.
Yeah, I thought Jimmy Hoffa might have, negative connotations for some people. And I don't think anybody was going to think I hit 750 home runs, so,
Okay, so a bonus Dictator nickname question.
Yeah.
What's the deal with Adney?
He did that. He used to have this fanzine, which was kind of like the early days of Cream when Lester Bangs and Dave Marsh and Greil Marcus were there, and he had a fanzine called the Teenage Wasteland Gazette, which was... I would say that it was mostly fictional, but that would be lying because it was 100% fictional. And he would make up... We were very influenced by Richard Meltzer, who was one of the very earliest rock writers and is the godfather of the Dictators. And I guess you could probably, like some eggheads would probably tell you this was like Dada or something. But we just thought it was really funny, And Andy had this fanzine, the Teenage Wasteland Gazette, which is where the name The Dictators actually came from. He had written this article about a fictional rock, like a rock festival, and the band's names in the rock festival, one was Beat the Meatles, one was Shank's Mother, because we had this guy who became our road manager, Steve Shank, and one was The Dictators. And we got together in this house up like a mile from a road, literally, in a town called Kerhonkson, up near the State University of New Paltz, where Andy was going. And Ross's parents had moved up to Wappingers Falls, which is right outside of Poughkeepsie, one of the great towns in New York because it has this huge mental institution. And when you finally get out, you have nowhere else to go. So the whole town is like half populated by, And...
We're here with Scott Kempner on 101.
So it was just one more extension, like Andy, Adney, and I haven't, they're really, these things were all on a whim, They were all on a drunken whim, all of the top 10 thing, the Adney thing, and Ross the Boss, the whole thing was just totally
Handsome
ridiculous.
Handsome Dick Manitoba?
Handsome Dick Manitoba. That was actually taken from a song that Andy had written about a private eye named Handsome Dick Manitoba. And it got transposed to Richard, Manitoba.
Right, of course.
Yeah. And that's, that's how it went. If it made us laugh, it went on the record. That was pretty much the criteria.
So, the Dictators and Ramones are basically like the Beatles and the Stones of the... New York rock scene in the late 70s and stuff. Are you amazed that, like, well over 30 years later that the Dictators are still so revered?
It's completely amazing to me. I mean, when I first met Joey was a drummer in a glam band called Sniper. And what was most distinctive about it, besides his appearance, which was always like, oh, wow, it's that guy. It's that when I mean, we saw the Ramones, it was like, it was that weird guy from Sniper.
He was the original drummer of the Ramones, right?
Then they moved,
right?
Yeah, but I remember that his drum stool had no seat. So this tall, skinny guy was sitting on the metal stem playing drums. This is true. This is actually true. And it was kind of like buying a piece of real estate in a part of town where nobody wanted to be. Nobody had any interest in, nobody's going to put any money in. And you just stayed there long enough until all of a sudden it became valuable. And that's sort of how I look at the whole Dictators, the Ramones. I mean, they just did the same thing in the same spot for so long that sooner or later people started to notice. And now they're, you know, they've been this huge influence on rock and roll. And they were amazing, you know?
So will the Dictators ever do any more New York shows?
I don't think so.
That's it.
My guess is
that
not.
That festival out at Randall's Island was the last one in New York? Was that the last one?
Was it? I think
that
it was.
That might have been, right?
Yeah, I think it was. We did a few tours in Europe, Spain mostly, which is like the greatest rock and roll country in the world. And we went there a few times, but I think it's kind of run its course at this point. 40 years, you know, that's a pretty good run.
It's a pretty good run, and still to be on top, right?
Right. There aren't too many bands that last 40 years. There aren't too many bands that last 5 years.
Not in this day and age. And you guys started out on Epic Records, and then we're on Asylum for the second and third album, which meant you basically shared the label with the Eagles, Jackson Browne, Warren Zevon, Linda Ronstadt. You know, looking back on that, being on that label, do you feel that being with those artists kind of hurt the sales of the Dictators, because it was a completely different sound?
We didn't need any help to hurt the sales of the Dictators, I don't think. You know how that really worked? First of all, Epic gave us the boot right away, you know? And when we signed with, it was Elektra Asylum. And at that point, Joe Smith, who had been a former sports broadcaster, in Boston, he was the president. He came down to the studio when we were recording the second record, Manifest Destiny. And we still didn't know what label we were on. And we said, so Joe, where are we going to be on, Elektra or Asylum? And he goes, well, I don't know. What do you want to be on? And we just thought the whole idea of being with, you know, the granola singer-songwriter crowd of the early 70s would just be hilarious, which again was the ultimate criteria, it seemed, for almost everything we did. And so we ended up on Asylum. But like really, you know, at that point, well, that was really like the beginning. When the first album came out, there was no clubs to play. You know, there was Max's here, there was the Whiskey A Go-Go in L.A., and to my best of my knowledge, that was it. So the first 2 years of the Dictators, I would say that 80 to 90% of our shows were in front of audiences of around 10,000 people opening up. I mean, I don't think you could name five headline acts from the 70s we didn't open for. I mean, obviously Blue Oyster Cult, because we were managed and produced by Sandy Pearlman and Murray Krugman. But Kiss, Thin Lizzy, AC/DC, Rush, Mahogany Rush, I mean, REO Speedwagon, Bob Seger, it just goes on and on. I remember Alice Cooper, Burton Cummings, and the Dictators.
Oh, jeez.
And surprise, surprise, we didn't do very well in these situations.
What was the thing with the Potatoes? Which band was that? Tell the story of that, because
okay.
In case the
well,
audience...
there was a tradition in rock tours that the very last night of a tour, like the bands would all sort of play practical jokes on each other. And this was the fabulous lineup of Uriah Heep headlining on their comeback. For those of you without television, I am shaking my head in disbelief as I'm speaking these words. A Foreigner's first tour and the Dictators. So when we came on, the idea, those guys, Uriah Heep, had rigged these sacks of like hundreds of potatoes. Taters, Dictators, potatoes, right? This is English humor, I'm told. They dropped these potatoes, except they did it at the wrong time, and it just ended up falling all over the stage around 10 minutes before we got on stage. And I remember when Foreigner was on, we went out to the soundboard where the sound guy has a talkback mic, and they were singing, you know, feels like the first time, and we were getting the mic going, oh, no, it don't. It don't feel like the first time. I've been doing this all. And they, you know, they had no idea, the audience had no idea where it was coming from. I'm trying to, I don't really remember what happened to Uriah Heep. Maybe they finally came, realized that that was their name, and that was the joke.
That was it. That was the end of it.
The joke on that.
So, let's do something from the Dictator's second album that we're talking about, Manifest Destiny. It's the actual first Dictator song that Scott Kempner wrote, right?
Oh,
we got a writing credit on Hey Boys, which I remember the 45.
Because
I remember the 45 was on Asylum. And I remember it was like, wow. And it was like the Dictators on the same label as, you know.
Yeah, they thought that had the best chance of being a hit.
Anything, Anything, I'm Rich Russo, and a song originally done 1929. Blind Alfred Reed, covered by the Del Lords on their debut album, also later by Bruce Springsteen. How can a poor man stand such times and live? And my guest tonight is one of the Del Lords, Scott Kempner. The Del Lords, one of the greatest names ever, as taken from the director of the Three Stooges shorts, Del Lord, and was and still is. And we're going to find out in a few seconds about one of New York City's greatest bands that filled the void in the post-punk era as a scene as it faded somewhat into the 80s, and then the Del Lords were one of the bridges that kept the scene going. And we got Scott Kempner here. You know, after the Dictators, you formed the Del Lords, and then for the first song on side one of your debut album, You decide to cover a song we just heard that's originally from 1929. How did you decide on that?
Well, the version that I heard first was actually on Roy Cooter's first record, the one produced by Van Dyke Parks, and that was what got me to do it. I just started thinking, well, this would make a great... You can just straighten this out, flatten it out, rock the hell out of it, and it would hold up. And it was just one of those things. I came in, we started the band, I came in with the idea of, like, here's one. I had an arrangement for Folsom Prison to kind of update it, to kind of give it a little bit of that. I don't know, I listen to it now and I can hear, like, the punkier roots in there. You know, it doesn't sound, I mean, certainly not reverential, you know what I mean? And that was just it. It was just a great song. I rewrote the last verse because it had applied directly to Prohibition.
Right.
And that seemed to be, seemed to have been resolved, you know, like 60 years before. So it didn't seem particularly relevant anymore.
And Bruce updated his to be about Hurricane Katrina.
I can't tell you how many people called me and said, Scott, you're not going to believe this. Springsteen's doing one of your songs. And I immediately went, well, that would be fantastic, but I have a feeling I know what song it is, and no, we didn't actually write it.
Well, he actually counted off a Dictator song, so you guys were close to him, right?
That's right. We were next door. When we were doing Blood Brothers, which was the final album before we broke up the first time, which was kind of, you know, it's hard when guys like Manitoba and I, we met in Hebrew school when we were 9 years old, and when you had friends for 40 years, it's kind of hard to break up. So the breakup was, you know what? This is over. It's run its course. We can't do this anymore. What are you doing tomorrow? I don't know. I'll call you. You know, that was, so it didn't last long. But Bruce was doing Darkness on the Edge of Town next door. So we saw those guys every single day for 2 months and had a lot of so many great moments and stories about that, actually. But at one time, we asked Bruce to come in and do this count-off, sort of like the Born to Run count-off.
Three, four.
And, you know, he did it like three times at the end. He was going, you know, can you just do that one again? You know, I was like, and it was great. What a great guy.
No, he's obviously the best.
Yeah. I love him to death.
You set up the Del Lords to be like multiple singers, like the Beatles were.
I had this idea in my head of what the perfect American rock and roll band should be and why some of my favorite bands weren't. I thought of the Byrds, and I thought how the original Byrds was never really a great live band. I thought how... say, like, the Velvet Underground never really succeeded in their own time. I thought how Creedence Clearwater Revival were really kind of a one-man show, and how Fogerty would go in at night sometimes and recut the drum parts and stuff like that. And so it was sort of modeled on the Beatles. You know, we were probably like the 5 billionth band to be modeled on the Beatles. So the idea of four lead singers with four distinct personalities that would give enough variety and enough personality to the thing, and that was the concept. We missed out on the big commercial success part of the thing, but, you know, we got, you know, most of it right.
Oh, you guys are fantastic. So you're in town. You're based in LA now.
I'm in town.
You're in town for, what are you in town for?
I'm in town. We're actually in the midst of recording the first Del Lords record in 20 years, because why rush? You know what I mean?
Yeah, why, you know.
And it was, our catalog got re-released a couple of years ago, and that, or... yeah, like in 09, I guess it was. And that led to a bunch of phone calls. And the next thing you knew, we were making a new record. I had a lot of songs. And everyone was on board. So there it is.
We're here with Scott Kempner of the Del Lords. And when will we hear some of this new music?
You could hear some right now. We have a couple of advanced things over there. Why don't you play one of those songs?
Oh, okay. We'll play track one. What's track one called?
Oh, this is called When the Drugs Kick In. We'll be right back.
tried and I tried, but the drugs always win. Sound unheard, no sight unseen.
When the drugs kick in, when the drugs kick in.
But I heard lies and deception, saw heartbreak and rejection.
When the drugs kick in, when the drugs kick in.
Now I'm an uncast vote in a fixed election.
When the drugs kick in, when the drugs kick in.
When the drugs kick in.
Anything. I'm Rich Russo, and brand new Del Lords, When the Drugs Kick In. How cool is that? And we're here with Scott Kempner of The Dictators, The Del Lords, also an accomplished solo artist, had a great album called Tenement Angels that just got the re-released deluxe packaging, vinyl, gorgeous, bonus Christmas song on it. Amazing, amazing packaging. Go buy that at your local indie store.
Thank you, buy it on vinyl.
Go buy it on CD. Go get it. It's an unbelievable album, and you're here with a guitar, so I'm assuming you're going to give us a...
I am. I got, you know, I'm always ready.
You're ready to roll. You're going to give us a song off Tenement Angels?
Yeah, this is a song about... where I come from. I come from the Bronx. And this is a song called Lonesome Train. A lonesome train on a lonesome track. I just put my baby on the 805. And I like that old song. She's gonna be long gone. Lonesome train on a lonesome track, gone to her folks upstate, never coming back. When I look at me, now would you look at me? I never knew I could hurt so bad, but I feel so bad that feels so sad. I never knew I could hurt this bad. I never knew love could feel so sad. I just gotta cry. Whoa. She said this dirty old town just became too much. And she said there's gotta be more to life than just to get tough. Said enough is enough. Said enough is enough. She said it's your wife, it's your crutch, it's your life, but as a living, it ain't much. I just gotta cry. Oh, 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 oh. The Bronx looks cold and gray from the windows of the subway train. But all night I've been riding around. You know I come from this part of town, but there ain't much that I recognize. The Bronx burned down right before my eyes. Guess she's right, I guess I'm wrong. I guess this is where I belong. Whoa. 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 Whoa.
Hey, can I do a new other one? New one?
Do whatever you want.
All right. Here's one this from the forthcoming Del Lords record. This is a love song. Damaged. Hey little girl, what'd your daddy do to you? You know I come with my own baggage too. We're damaged, damaged. Let's fall in love. You step up to the plate already, two strikes down. They blindside you, blindfold you, spin you around. We're damaged, damaged. Let's fall in love. Well, damaged, baby, ain't that just great? Damaged by the time we're born, it's already too late. Damaged, preset to detonate. And that's to make the world go round and around and around and around. Baby, we're damaged, round and around. Baby, we're damaged, damaged, damaged. Let's fall in love. We can move into a bubble inside an illusion. Heartbreak city, a state of confusion. Damage, damage, let's fall in love. Well, we can get married, settle down, have a kid. Do the same great job that our folks did. We're damaged, damaged, let's fall in love. Well, damaged, baby, ain't that just great? Damaged by the time we're born, it's already too late. Damaged, preset to detonate. And that's what makes the world go round and around and around and around. Baby, we're damaged, round and around. Baby, we're damaged, damaged, damaged. Oh, let's fall in love. Woo!
breathe our first breath, dream our first dream. The unwelcome stranger in the opening scene. We're damaged, damaged. Let's fall in love. Well, damaged, baby, ain't that just great? Damaged by the time we're born, it's already too late. Damaged, preset to detonate. And that's what makes the world go round and around and around and around. Baby, with damage, round and around. Baby, with damage, damage, damage. Oh, let's fall in love. With damage, damage. Oh, let's fall in love. With damage, damage. Oh, let's fall in love.
Hey.
Scott Kemp, they're just like blowing through the toll booth.
Once
two songs
I get started,
in a row.
I can't stop.
It's fired up.
Stop.
So we got a solo song and then another new Del Lord song. Yep. So we've heard two of them. How great is that? Kemp, they're in studio with us tonight, and it's going to be in a recording studio all this week to finish up the new Del Lords album. How cool is that? Tell me about that song, Love's on Fire.
Love on Fire. It was a little bit more of a rockabilly arrangement. We first started doing it back in 82, And Manny, who played bass in the Dolords, he sang it. And then I just kind of got this idea when we were doing the Lovers Who Wander record for this other sort of arrangement. And it also allowed me the opportunity to do my very sorry-ass interpretation of Otis Redding's Gotcha, 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 who, you know, Otis just about one of my very favorite singers of all time. And I tried really hard not to embarrass myself. That's pretty much the story there.
it's one of the best songs. And you didn't embarrass yourself last time you played. You did two songs for us in a row. You just rifled through it. You got your guitar again. Do you want to do something else for us?
This is a song from my second solo record, Saving Grace. This is a song called Love Out of Time. I was lost when you were found, when you were flying high, I was way underground. Just can't make that connection, that's nothing new. Love out of time, nothing you can do. Deep in the night, I call your name. In the cold morning light, I heard you did the same. Heard you've been asking about me. Yeah, I've been asking about you. Love out of time, nothing you can do. 'Cause timing is everything you need to keep your poor heart in misery. And without it, you've got nothing but a whole lot of loneliness. And remember when I waited for you, I waited but you did not come. And when you offered up the stars and the moon, I held out for the sun. This is a dream I keep having, alone in the corner. We're closing this place, slow dancing. And I see that you're crying. I pull away from you. Love out of time, nothing you can do. Love out of time, nothing you can do. Love out of time.
Anything, Scott Kempner live in studio, Love Out of Time. Great version of that.
Thank you.
Saving Grace is a great album as well.
Thank you.
A lot of good stuff here. We're going to put you on the, we're going to do the Scott on the Spot, I guess we're going to call this. We're going to, there's so many bands, you know, I get, you know, hundreds of CDs sent to me. Hey, listen to my band. They always list their influences. Uh-huh. And every New York City band that ever sends anything always says the Dictators, the Del Lords, the Ramones, the Dolls. Okay. You can only imagine. Nobody ever says the Strokes, by the way. But they always, you know, they say Degeneration. They'll say that, you know, the Biggies. And so I took a couple songs that we've played a few times on the show that get great reaction. I want to play them for you.
Okay.
And see if you hear anything in them, if you like them. You know,
all right.
And the first one is from a band called Brooklyn. This song, you'll love this. It's a minute and 42 seconds. The band is called The Wild Deer. They're from Brooklyn. The song is called Danny Felter. So let's put you on the spot and let's just.
I wanna say, I can't do that till there's nothing left to say, and I feel so much better than I did yesterday. Acetylene, amphetamines, gasoline and kerosene, tangerines and margarine are running through my veins.
nothing left to say, and I feel so much better than I did yesterday. Nothing new. There never seems to be any reaction from you. Nothing left to do. There never seems to be anyone at home. Oh, I spend a lot of time trying to figure out what side you're on. You're never gonna tell me all the words I wanna hear. So much better than I did yesterday. Demerol numbs it all, it's twice as good as Tylenol. Alka-Seltzer helped us get to Danny, felt it too. Till there was nothing left to say, and I feel so much better than I did yesterday. It took a lot of space and time, I figured out what side I'm on. I'm never gonna tell you all the words I wanna say. Till there was nothing left to say, and I feel so much better than I did yesterday. So much better than I did yesterday. So much better than I did yesterday. So much better than I did yesterday.
Be anything, anything, the Wild Deer with a song called Danny Felter. We got Scott Kempner here in studio. What do you think?
I think that's great. I really do. I mean, I think the band sounds great. Great drummer. Great melody. I mean, I have nothing negative to say about that whatsoever.
Song's a hit, right?
It's
should
really
be like a
catchy
TV show or a movie or something,
it's,
right?
It's great. I thought that, you know, you hear little things like how well the lyric is alliterated and stuff, and the sounds of the lyric, and whether the internal rhymes or end rhymes at the end of lines, and everything sounded like that's just top notch all the way. Exciting, fun, great melody, great singing, great playing. I like the background vocal parts. Guitars were great. Drummer was right on it.
Yeah, that's one of the every time we play that song, we get a ton of emails on that song.
Yeah, I can
and
see why.
It's amazing stuff. So let's do another one. This is a band from Staten Island. They're called The Seconds. It's called Garbage Man.
Trading in all my school books, 'cause I don't need them anymore. Oh, father, quit your planning on me, 'cause you're just wishing on a falling star. I've got myself a brand new plan. I found out what it takes to be a man. So you can keep your fancy suit, 'cause I wanna be a garbage man. Oh, teacher, quit your preaching to me. School's just not for this boy. Oh, doctor, check out all my symptoms. I gotta stay healthy for my city of New York. Society hates a street scholar, but I'd be happy to wear blue collar.
Be anything, anything. That was actually the demo version of The Seconds, Garbage Man. There's been a produced one, but what did you think of the song in general? We hear with Scott Kempner of the Dictators and the Del Lords.
We're two for two. I thought that was great also. And I love the arrangement of it. I love that verse arrangement. It kind of breaks down and picks
the
back
old mama
up.
And the
nice dynamics. Another great melody. Band sounds great.
Well, these are the bands that submit and say they're influenced by you. I mean,
I'm completely flattered to hear that. I mean, I would buy both of those records.
Well, it's good. We appreciate that. And the band's obviously going to be stoked to hear that, being who you are. And so I want to thank you so much for being
What's
up here.
What's the name
here.
Of that band?
That's The Seconds.
The Second, okay, yeah.
The Seconds from Staten Island. The first band was the Wild Deer.
But both bands are great.
No works. Yeah, it's good. We get a ton of great stuff in here, and it's amazing now with the technology
and
the garage.
It's great that you play in this stuff, you know, and like, that's fantastic. I really think that's you're doing a real service here.
Well, we're trying to get as much good music out there as possible, and obviously, you know.
What a concept. What a concept for radio.
I don't know, radio, yeah. Right? It's a job to get music out there. That's what we do, and it's been great.
Radical.
We're really breaking the mold here. It's been so great having you up here and
thank you.
Giving
Thanks
us a new Del Lord song. And obviously, we're looking forward to hopefully in September, maybe.
Yeah, we're rushing to get this thing done. We really want to get this thing done as soon as possible. And, you know, it's keeping it nice and simple, just two guitars, bass, drums, the way God intended, you know, like baseball in the afternoon on the grass. It's just the way God intended it all to be.
Well, there you go. We're excited. And obviously, when this is ready, we're going to obviously play it. We want you guys back up here. We
sure.
want to
absolutely.
Obviously do a show maybe. Maybe we'll do an anything show with the Del Lords and stuff. And thanks again to Scott Kempner.